This is WMUK's Let's Hear It, Music of the Moment in West Michigan. I'm Kara Lawrence. Thanks for coming along tonight. We're going to take a look at tomorrow night's Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra performance in Miller Auditorium. I'm joined today by the two star soloists of the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra's Friday night concert called Beethoven and Nielsen. One is the Stolberg Gold medalist, Yezy Park.
Hello, thank you for
coming here today. And the other is Yukie Ota, who is the principal flutist of the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra and also an award-winning performer. Thank you for coming, Yukie.
Thank you.
Can I call you Yuki for short?
Yeah.
Okay. With both of you here, we're going to split some time between the two concertos that are featured on Friday night's concert. And I'm going to start with Yezy Park. Going back over a year, or just about a year, you were at the time in school and preparing for a competition in Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Yes, yeah.
Is this something you'd heard of before, the Stolberg International String Competition?
Yes, it's considered one of the major string competitions at my school, which is Juilliard, and my teacher suggested it in 2014, and then we prepared for 2015's competition.
Who was your teacher?
Catherine Cho.
Catherine Cho. Had you moved to New York from another place where you grew up?
Mm-hmm. I was born in Houston, Texas, and we lived there for around 12 years and then moved around 5 years ago.
How many years had you been playing the violin when you decided to move to New York?
That was when I was around 8 years, because I started when I was 4 years old.
Do you still think of Houston as home?
I consider both as home. Yeah. I visited recently, and then it was kind of odd because I was wanting to go back to New York, but I also wanted to stay. So it was kind of both, I think.
Sure. And music can become sort of an international passport. So you can expect a lot of travel in your future, especially. So back to the Stolberg, you prepared for a whole, you had it in mind for a whole year.
Mm-hmm. That was when I was preparing for college auditions at the time, and very luckily the repertoire that they wanted was almost synonymous with the college audition rep.
Mm-hmm.
So on my part, it was nice because there was not a lot of extra work involved, so it was a good experience. So my teacher and I discussed it and said, why not apply for another thing? It was right after auditions as a nice close-up of the year since it was in May.
So you could work on both simultaneously, and they both helped each other.
Mm-hmm.
And when you arrived here, there were 11 other finalists, rather, and how many of them were familiar faces?
Around more than half of them. Yeah.
Some of them, I'm sure, from Juilliard.
A lot of them were from Juilliard, and a lot of them were from Curtis, whom I met through summer camps and seminars. So,
does that mean you put your competitive spirit aside when you see friends, or do you just sort of all manage to compartmentalize, you know, that part of the competition?
I think for me personally, I really liked the fact that Stolberg had a public performance, so it was very easy for me to feel like it was just a performance and not an actual competition. But in answer to your question, like the vibe at that particular year at Stolberg, we were all friends. We didn't just know each other. The people I knew were very close, so it didn't feel competitive at all. So that was really nice.
No, that's great. The gold medal comes with a cash prize and the performance opportunity that is going to happen this Friday night in Kalamazoo, performing with a professional orchestra. And what concerto are you performing?
I'll be playing Prokofiev Concerto No. 1.
How many did he write?
He wrote two, and I played the second concerto at the competition, actually.
Okay. Well, luckily right here I have a recording of your gold medal winning performance of the Prokofiev, and I thought we could hear a few minutes of that and come back with violinist Yezy Park and more on the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra's Friday night concert. Full details on tickets and more are available at kalamazoosymphony.com.
Thank you.
That was a live concert performance at the Stolberg International String Competition, in which my guest, Yezi Park, played two movements of the Prokofiev Violin Concerto No. 2. That was the slow, lyrical middle movement we heard there. And I think about 1 minute in, when you hit that note, I think I would have given you the gold medal right there.
Oh, thank you so much.
It's really beautiful. You're performing another Prokofiev concerto tomorrow night in Miller Auditorium. The concerto is his first concerto in D major. First of all, why do we hear the second concerto so much more often than the first concerto?
I think the second concerto is more balanced in terms of like lyrical and also his characteristic sarcasm and ironic personality. And I actually recently heard that he actually tried so hard in his second concerto to put in the melodies and develop them more, which is why we can hear that in the second movement. The first concerto doesn't have a slow movement, actually. We only have bits and pieces of small melodies that aren't as developed in the first and third movement. The second movement is actually a very fast scherzo that's like 3 minutes long. So I think that's a pretty big reason as well.
Is it important for violin soloists to learn both of them?
I think the second concerto is definitely more standard in the repertoire. And the first one is considered, it's still very well known, but not as, oh, you have to learn this. It's weird if you don't learn it. It's not like that. Yeah.
I know that later in his career, he would write specifically for people like David Oistrakh and famous violinists of his time. Do you know if that's the case with these concertos?
Well, the first concerto, he didn't write it specifically for like one violinist, but there's a really funny story behind the first concerto, which is he wrote it. It was finished in 1917, but it wasn't premiered for 6 years because he couldn't find a soloist who wanted to play his piece, because at the time Stravinsky was very popular, and Stravinsky was overshadowing Prokofiev at the time, so he couldn't find anyone who wanted to perform this piece. But this famous violinist, Joseph Zaghetti, was in the audience when it was first premiered, finally in 1923, and he liked it so much that he toured it around the United States and Europe with this concerto, and he actually edited the fingerings and everything. So there's an edition still now that's circulating around with Zaghetti's markings. So
I'd like to hear more about like your history with the piece, how long it's been in your repertoire, what made you curious about it, was it an assignment to begin with, and how you grew into loving this piece.
Yeah, Prokofiev was one of my favorite composers in general.
Just from the get-go.
Yeah, just from the get-go, yeah. Because I love the second concerto so much, and I have more history with that concerto because it was my college audition piece. And then I started listening to more of his other pieces, and mainly the first concerto, and I thought, oh, this is so different, and it's also seems so fun to play. And I thought, why not play this with the KSO? And I actually learned it for this concert. I never, ever touched it before last November, and I started preparing it. But yeah, it's a very technical piece, and I'm very happy that I got to practice a lot on the technical aspects, because the second concerto is more of a balance between musicality and technical stuff.
I want to remind listeners that I'm talking to the two soloists on tomorrow night's concert from the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra. First, Yezi Park, Stolberg gold medalist, will appear with this Prokofiev Concerto No. 1, and Yukie Ota will perform the Nielsen Flute Concerto, which we'll get to in a moment. And the program will finish with Beethoven's wonderful Pastoral Symphony. We're going to take a break here and hear a few minutes of the opening of the Prokofiev Concerto No. 1 in a recording with Shlomo Mintz as soloist, which you said you haven't heard it before, so maybe it'll kind of be interesting for you to hear what he does. And again, I'd like to remind listeners that tickets and more information are available at kalamazoosymphony.org.
Thank you.
We heard part of the first movement of the Concerto No. 1 by Sergei Prokofiev for violin in D major. That is a recording with Shlomo Mintz. And if you'd like to hear a live performance where all of the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra musicians are striving with soloist Yezy Park to bring this piece to life for you, you can attend the concert tomorrow night at 8 o'clock in Miller Auditorium. At 7 o'clock, Maestro Raymond Harvey will give a prelude introduction to the concert. If you attend a little ahead of time, you can hear that. Full details online at kalamazoosymphony.com or kalamazoosymphony.org. And of course, stay tuned to WMUK, where we have both soloists for the program. I'm really thrilled to have both of you here. It's Yezy Park, the Stolberg Gold Medalist and principal flutist of the Kalamazoo Symphony, Yukie Ota. And Yukie, you are no stranger to music competitions either. You've been to a number of international events as a flute soloist. When I was talking to Dan Gustin the other day, the director of the Gilmore International Keyboard Festival, he said there's about 500 piano competitions out there. I would say that's probably the same range as for violins and string players, mm-hmm. but there's far fewer woodwind competitions. Would you tell me about your experience as a professional flutist and some of the highlights of your competitive experience?
Well, unfortunately, the Carl Nielsen International Competition was my first experience as an international competition, and it was my last international competition because of the age limit for the competition. I was been trying to attend a lot of international competition, but unfortunately, I could not pass the prelim as like sending a recording. Even actually, Carl Nielsen started, I was alternative, second alternative. So I wasn't really invited from beginning. But some cancellation happened, so I was invited. So it was kind of lucky. And I was kind of surprised that I got actually second prize in the end.
I know you won the silver medal in this competition. And it was a story that went viral because of the butterfly that flew and landed while you played in a very distracting place, like right on your forehead. And you kept playing straight through the music. And I was rooting for you the whole time. You stayed. This was such an important moment. And you stayed in the music. I have heard you play live a number of times from the audience of the KSO. Maybe it's because I'm a flute player, but when I hear you play, I just can't get the sense that this could be any better. You're making everyone sound better when you play. It just really enhances the whole orchestra. I heard you in Tchaikovsky. I heard you in many different things, and you just have that sense of rightness and taste that I always am drawn to. So I'm really glad you got some international recognition.
I'm so glad that you enjoy the concert all the time. But like my actual intention to play in the orchestra actually is I'm of course the highest voice in the orchestra, and I try to cover from the top and like make a veil to all the woodwinds and like winds, and so like that's like kind of I'm trying to do. And then like I'm so glad that you actually catch that kind of sense.
You are using your ears well beyond the line you play to sort of encompass the whole sound of the orchestra, and that's what orchestral musicians can do to be in tune with their conductor, who's, you know, the intention is to create a unified interpretation, and to have an orchestral musician like you must be a godsend for a conductor. In fact, Daniel Breyer, the assistant conductor, was here a couple weeks ago and said, "We are so lucky to have a flute player like Yuki in our orchestra. Well, let's hear about how you became the musician you are. Where did you grow up?
Well, I actually started the flute when I was 13, which is kind of old as a start as a flute player. A lot of actually like famous flute players start at 6, so I feel. But also like I started as a wind band. That's very like popular in Japan. Like there's a big competition for the schools. And I actually personally wanted to play saxophone first. But my friend actually asked me to play the flute with her. So I chose a flute for her. But in the end, she actually chose a saxophone. So it was totally betrayed. Although I'm so appreciated, actually, to now play the flute. Actually, it was the best instrument for me.
Where were you in Japan?
I was in like a little small town called Hamamatsu City, where actually Yamaha company is there, and like Kawaii Piano also. It's just like a big like a music city. So actually, I was growing up listening a lot of music over there.
Did you play a Yamaha flute when you started?
Yes, I had to.
I'm just, for all the flutists out there, what kind of instrument do you play now?
I play, it's also from Japan. It's called the Muramatsu flute. Actually, there's an American branch in Detroit. And actually, once a year, I actually visit to maintenance my flute.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also like a worldwidely used flute. But then actually, after the competition, I got some award. So I actually went to Paris to get new head joint, like a mouthpiece, from a French company. Oh, God, I forgot the name.
Do they do them by hand and hand make their
of course,
head joints?
It's a handmade.
Yeah.
It's so shame I should actually announce the name.
Is that your flute over in the
Parmenon.
Corner?
Parmenon. It's called a Parmenon.
Parmenon.
Yes, that's I actually had a difficult time to find the head joint because there's only one dealer in the United States, but then they actually didn't have enough like selection. So that's why I had to flew to France to go exact the company, and then actually I was talking to the maker, and then I chose the best one from there.
Did you come to the United States in order to study at university or something?
So just like 2 years before, I was finishing my undergrad in Japan. My the time teacher in Japan was actually offered me to go abroad to see a culture and, you know, like lots of different music. So I actually mainly went to Europe to try to find my ideal teacher. Although I really could not find, and my teacher actually suggested to see Mathieu Dufault, who used to be a principal flute at the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. Now he's in the Berlin Philharmonic.
Mm-hmm.
I met him and then just know exactly who I wanted to study with. So I came for him.
His name is Mathieu Dufault. He's originally from France,
mm-hmm.
right? He is a wonderful soloist and orchestral musician. So that sounds ideal. And he was your teacher until he moved to Berlin?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh. It was huge loss for me, actually. But for him, I'm very happy that he went to the Berlin and create more music with them.
Mm. Well, I'm just sitting here thinking how wonderful that relationship must have been as a musical, the next step in your musical development. Did you go to him as a private student, or did you end up in school, a school setting, and getting degrees in music and things like that?
Since I really haven't studied English hard when I was in Japan, so actually to enroll to the university where my teacher was teaching, it was so hard for me to get in because I had to pass some English exam, and actually I took 3 years. So while I was taking an English exam, I was I saw him as a private teacher, but then I got into the university, and so I was in his studio, and I finished my master degree over there. And that was kind of things like I faced after finishing university, like how long actually I should study with teacher generally. And then it kind of at some point I need to be independent and just study by myself. And actually the Carl Nielsen International Competition was a good turning point for me because he never teach me. He just let me to just prepare for the competition. I actually call him and text him, please see me and just give me a lesson. But he actually really didn't text me back and reply. But that's, he told me like the end, like I wanted to you, I know you have ability to prepare yourself. So just wanted to you to know that you have ability. So that was a good turning point for me. Like now, okay, so I know what I have to do. So that's why I could more like independent. So like I didn't follow him to Berlin. I wanted to, but
I'm sure he did. But he asked you to stand on your own two feet, prepare for the competition all by yourself, which you did, and you won one of the top prizes. That's sounds like a good teacher to me as well. I think now hearing this that we're quite lucky to have you in Kalamazoo. You may be on to Europe at some point or another orchestral post. Would you take me back to auditioning for the Kalamazoo Symphony and how long you've been with this ensemble?
I've been serving in Kalamazoo Symphony since 2011. And it was just the middle of doing my master degree, actually. So my first year in Kalamazoo was like I'm second year of the master degree. So it was pretty busy to do both schooling and coming to the playing orchestra. And actually, Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra audition is my first audition. Actually,
and you second guess yourself?
Yeah, I've been known Gabriel Rentina, the principal of all, from actually like International Orchestra Festival in Switzerland. It's called Verviers Festival Orchestra. So when I saw actually the announcement for the audition, like I know like where he is. So like it was good opportunity for me. So just like take it. So.
And here you are in first chair of the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra, and now singled out as so few orchestral members are to leave that chair and come to the front of the stage and be the soloist for this concert, for which you've prepared the concerto by Carl Nielsen, this composer whose name is on the competition that you excelled at. And his flute concerto, let's look at flute concertos. How many do we really have?
I know, it's so few.
So there's two Mozarts,
well, but one is actually...
Never mind the oboe, flute.
Two flute concerto. Although there's like a harp and flute concerto from Mozart.
That's right.
And a Jacques Ivers flute concerto.
The Ivers, yes. We have no Beethoven, Brahms. The whole Romantic era seems to have gone right past us. And then we get into the 20th century and things get a little better. Exactly. But this is an important work for solo flute. Most flutists do end up studying it if they continue on. Tell me about why it's important. What do you like about it?
Carl Nielsen.
The Carl Nielsen Flute Concerto. It says here 1926, which sounds like about the same time, Yezi, as the Prokofiev.
For me, the Carl Nielsen Flute Concerto is more like picturized of all like Denmark, and which kind of I actually sensed when I actually went to the competition in Denmark. It's more clear like what the vision he actually wrote for the music. So I wish I could just explain, you know, through the music. It's like very country. It's very like people are so nice and lots of cows and sheep and like in Michigan, actually. Somehow I could see some part of the Michigan.
You think?
Yes.
I hear in the opening that were very agitated. In this opening has the flute can't settle down somehow. It's looking for things to do. Maybe it's sort of the being in a new place and like, oh, looking around. I don't know.
I feel actually the first, like the beginning is like just like cold, like winds just go through or something. It's like Denmark is also, you know, like northern part of Europe is so cold and freeze or something.
Okay.
Different interpretation. It's very interesting.
My guest, Yuki Ota, will perform this as her solo concerto tomorrow night in Kalamazoo at Miller Auditorium with the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra. Raymond Harvey conducting. Details at kalamazoosymphony.org. Let's hear part of the Flute Concerto by Carl Nielsen. We've just gotten into the first movement of the Flute Concerto by Carl Nielsen, the Danish composer. And my guest, Yuki Ota, says this reminds her of Denmark and visiting Denmark a couple of years ago as one of the finalists in the flute competition, the Carl Nielsen flute competition. It's amazing he has a competition named after him for this, maybe because of this concerto, which was composed, I see, in 1926. The section we just got to, I find really unusual and extraordinary that with the flute, along comes a trombone to almost get into a dialogue with the flute. What an interesting thing to do.
Well, actually, last night we actually had a first rehearsal, and I actually was talking to the bass trombone player who actually I met at the PMF, like Pacific Music Festival, before he joined to the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra. But yeah, like it's dialogue, definitely. Like it's just conversation between flute and bass trombone. And also we actually also have another dialogue with flute and clarinet. So that's, I don't know, it's very important to communicate with them. So
right, you can't simply let the orchestra fade into the background behind you. You really engage with what they're doing with your music.
Mm-hmm. So it's maybe good. Like I have actually experience to be in the orchestra to play with those kind of people. So I kind of trying to, you know, more collaborate with the orchestra and more make one union to perform the concerto.
This concert is tomorrow night, and it's been, you know, it was announced last season. You've known for a year or so that this was going to happen, and finally it's here. You're preparing, you're rehearsing, and the Carl Nielsen Concerto for Flute is one of those pieces that we're lucky to hear in orchestral concerts. It's not as common as Beethoven or even Prokofiev. Yezi, you still have... I certainly don't want to leave you out here at the end of the hour. We're so excited to have you back in town, too. It's kind of nice to have a program with two concertos on it, you know?
Yeah.
Typically, it's just one. Do you get to simply do your concerto and then sit back and enjoy the rest of the concert?
Yeah, that'll be really fun. Just watch.
Are you looking forward to the Beethoven Pastoral Symphony that closes this piece?
Yeah, it's actually one of my favorite Beethoven symphonies.
Have you been able to perform it in the
past? No, but I've been, Juilliard Orchestra actually performed it as in its first concert this season, so I was able to listen to it recently.
Well, we know Beethoven loved the outdoors. He especially loved going on hikes and walks and hearing the sounds of nature. And I understand mm-hmm. that nature is really what this symphony is all about. Maybe Yezu, you could tell us a little about the story of the symphony.
Yeah, so this is number 6, Pastoral, and it's about more like the countryside, and it's 5 movements, which is very rare, and it's usually 4. And Beethoven actually wrote in his manuscript the titles for each of the movements. So the first movement is translated to Awakening of Cheerful Feelings Upon Arrival in the Countryside. And the second movement is Scene by the Brook. Third movement is Merry Gathering of Country Folk. And then the third movement goes directly into the fourth movement, which is titled Thunder Storm, which is the most, I guess, dissonant movement of the symphony. And then the fifth movement is the Shepherd's Song, which is, I think, the most famous movement of the whole symphony. And it's cheerful and thankful feelings after the storm. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Yuki, are you going to, in your ball gown, finish playing your concerto and sit down with the orchestra to play this piece?
Yes, I will.
You will. So you've been rehearsing the Beethoven too?
Yes, I do. And I also like the symphony so much, so I'm kind of looking forward to play that.
You don't think that's too much? You do want to have this flute part too?
Well, actually, my teacher, who when he was playing with the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, he actually played the concerto, and he actually played the second half, the symphony as well. So it's a good challenge for me too.
Well, Yuki and Yezu, thank you so much for coming to WMUK. Folks, you can hear them playing their instruments on Friday night, tomorrow night, at the highest level. Join them at 8 p.m. in Miller Auditorium. Details at kalamazoosymphony.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you.